What? I don't remember Bechlin. Okay. So basically, I guess the point that he said until now was that Yisurim is a type of zikuk for a person, and there are many things that a person is not zocha to. Ruchnisik things a person is not zocha to without some sort of tziruf zikuk, and that's why all these inyanim have to be dafka in a prerequisite for Eretz Yisrael and Torah and Olam Haba is Yisurim. That's basically the point he's been saying till now. I guess. I wanted to sort of look at another point like that. You have in Rosh Hashanah, you have a similar memra. It says Vomer Yitzchak, Sintes Zayin Amid Beis. Vomer Yitzchak Kol Shana Shein Toikin La Bitchilos Meirin La Beseifa. My time at Loi Irviv Satan. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak Kol Shana Sherosha B'tchilosa Misasheres B'Seifa. So Rabbi Yitzchak says that if a year is Rosha B'tchilosa, the word Rosha means impoverished. The Reish Shin Hei. It's Reish Shin Hei. A year that's empty or impoverished in the beginning, that is Misasheres B'Seifa. Rabbi Yitzchak says, if you're not tokeh b'tchilasa, then miriam l'b'seifa, then bad happens afterwards. There's a shaila here, actually, of what does it mean, ain't tokeh la b'tchilasa? What exactly happened? If it happens on Shabbos, then Rabbanan, then the Chachamim have really gotten us into a mess. You know, they've were chayshish for Chilas Shabbos, but but then we were stuck without the skula. So the Taisus brings over here actually in first Balach is doilus. Alav de mikla b'shapsa, al desyal roinsa. We're talking about where if some onus happened and we couldn't blow shofar, so it will not bode well for the hemshech advarim, which is interesting. So one would understand it that it's not an onesh. In other words, if people I can understand this chazal, if let's say people sort of were too busy, they were busy at the kiddush, and by the time they finished kiddush there's no time to be a shayfa, so people are faulted for what they're doing, so then you have an onesh. But if they're an onus, what difference what onus it is? It says it not happened Shabbos, but there was a certain onus. There was no shofar in town. There was one shofar and it broke. The Baal Tekeah fell ill. So if it's an onus, it doesn't make any sense. They should get an onus for, for not blowing shofar. So the way it's understood, it seems to be that it's part of a necessary process. In other words, there's the Chazal say that tzaddikim is it's a medrash in Breishis Rabbah and Samach Aleph that tzaddikim is tchilosin yisurin v'seif and shalva, that the mahalach of tzaddikim is first yisurin and shalva, rishayim is tchilosin shalva v'seif and yisurin. So it means that there's a general mahalach. Since to get to the toiv, to get to the shalva, you need to have a certain path of yisurin. So getting through the yisurin is a necessity for it. So rishoyim, because the tchilas and shalva, that's why they end up safe in yisurin. It's because they don't have any zichuch whatsoever. You could also learn that chazal as being along the lines of vayishman yisurin vayivat. That because Klal Yisrael was overloaded with good and they didn't have anything to sort of sand them down and wear away a little bit at the chumrias. That's why it happened. You can learn it that way. But al kaponim, there's a mahalach where you need to start a process of tov by wearing down at what's there before. I guess if you can use a sort of parallel, it's like Bris Mila. In order to be megalad a person of kedusha, one needs to remove the arla, and then there's inside it there's a person who has kedusha. So the same mahalach on the entirety of the person is the mahalach of the zikuch of yisurim, and then you get to the pnimis of the person himself. That would seem to be pshat. But the question is,
sure. In a material sense,
so lav dafka, we'll see in a second. I mean, it learning the Gemara, it does mean that. But both Rashi and Tosfos have a bit of a different take. In other words, the word rush certainly means poor, in a material sense. But like every other hardship, it's something that sort of sands down a person's chumrius and it brings out more of a zichur. Rashi's so that's it certainly is the pshat of it, and the question is, so we obviously do what we can to avoid yisurim, and we obviously don't take that as that's it. I mean, with the purpose of our davening, everything is to be a spal for everything, you know, a person's spal for feinu and so on, baruch aleinu and you know, reinu vanyenu. So there does seem to be an alternative process that it accomplishes the same, except it is we take charge of it. So we have a few things. Rashi says over here, Sherosha betchilasan. So Rashi says she Yisrael oisin atzman Russian Rosh Hashanah ledabe tachnune vitfilo ki yishlem tachnune yedabe rosh. So, Klal Yisrael makes themselves mentally. In other words, their mindset is that of a rush, and it's very interesting. Rashi says, "Keinyan shnema tachnunim yedabe rush." I think "Va'azuz yedabe osher." I think it's the end of the pasuk. In other words, the way in which we are mevakish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, really reflects on our attitude. If there's a way in which a person asks with a stout heart, with kind of a haughty heart, and that's one type of bakasha, and then there's a type of bakasha that comes from someone who's a rush. And so Rashi says, Sherosha bitchiloso doesn't have to mean, in other words, it's not the physical impoverishment as such, but it's the person's mental state of their hearing himself as not having anything. You know, so even if the person has, but if a person understands it's all Yad Hashem, and having and not having is you know, the fact that he happens to have now is not mean that he has it, it's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. That's called he makes himself rush. Tosfos says Sherosha bitchilasa. Shemitoich sheYisraelim roshim libom nishbar umrachlem et shemayim. So he says also, it's because the impoverishment tends to break their spirit, their quality of tachnunim is much, much stronger. That's so even though they're in terms of pshat slightly different, Rashi and Tosfos, but the point is the same. It would also sort of help us understand the first part of it. The Shein Toikim, because Tkiya Shofar is a, in the big picture, it's a crying out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both of them are a form of Shvira, a form of breaking. When a person is confident, a person speaks with a lot of self-confidence, assertive, and so on. When a person falters, when a person himself is not sure, his speech falters. And there are two forms of speech that express a difficulty. Genuchi ganach is groaning. When a person is beginning to feel a slide downwards, that's genuch higanach, that's shvira. The Gemara says that if a person is misaneach, if a person groans, it's sheva chatzi gufoy. It upsets half of his guf. And that's a person who is facing possibly not holding up under the burden. And yulula yolo is when a person feels he's lost. Crying is over something that's gone. So crying is always it's the expression of having been empty, of being empty. So there's bechia on anything, on any loss. So, you know, so gimel bechi, the first kuf of avelus is feeling the loss, and that's one part of it. And then the second part of it is it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Churban. It speaks about whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu cry, doesn't cry. So bechia is an expression of having. So tkiya sheifa is a form of tefillah, and it's a form of tefillah that is in line with tachnunim. It's of a rush. It's the person expressing emptiness, not having. So the school of Tekiya Shafer is a type of tefillah that expresses it expresses itself in the format that he's talking about of a rush. Now, so when Tosfos says that an oynis happened and they say al oynso, so I think the pshat is, even though it's not my fault, but I don't have that schus. Right now I'm facing Rosh Hashanah without having the without having that approach of Roshus. There's a famous kind of phrase that Litvish Rosh Hashivas used to say that went like this. You know, when somebody was absent for any length of time from yeshiva, so, and you'd come with some good excuse, some proper excuse, the reaction would be onus rachmana patre, but that didn't make you into a lamdin. In other words, onus can remove the guilt of wrongdoing or of lack of good doing, but it can never give you what the good doing is supposed to give you. The Ramban actually says this in a fascinating halacha in Esedo Cholosase. The Ramban tries to explain it because we normally understand the losas to be more common than an essay. So why would an essay push aside a losase? Losase has malchus, an essay does not. An essay doesn't have a real chi of carbon, and this does have. So losase would have, it has cars. So the Ramban says that something you did wrong, it can be mitukin. So if we use a mushal, if a person got an ink onto his shirt, it may take a lot of work to get the ink spot out, but it can be removed. But if you never had a shirt to start with, you can't. There's no tshuva that can replace a thing that's missing. So to get something you don't have is difficult. So therefore, even though it's not that we're faulted for not, blowing shofa, if it's an onus, it's onus achmana patre, but we're missing something, and the nekuda that Chazal are pointing out that we're missing is this inyan of it's this inyan specifically of having that rushes. The I guess there's another way in which, so how does one make up for it? So Rashi here says, I mean, by saying that Sheyisrael lo yisatzman rosh and rosh on ledabe tachnunim utfila ki yishlem tachnunim dabe rosh. So what it means is that the Shofar himself is, the Shofar itself is a tremendous tool for achieving that. The Shofar gives us a call of bechi and genuchi ganech, and that allows us to, and that puts us in that mode. By blowing Shofar, it's an automatic statement of rushes. But if a person were to consciously put himself in that mindset that he has nothing without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he would have the same effect. It's just, so when Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, Kol Shana Shein Toikon B'Tchilas Miriam B'Seifa, we'll assume that he's saying that it's something which is difficult. In other words, if you leave as is, if you don't have the tkiya and the trua to give it to you, then you more likely than not have it, I guess, would be the right way to put it. But if you make a conscious effort, you certainly can. That's one. A second thing that Chazal gave us, it says in the Mishnah Megillah that you read Teichecha twice a year, one before Shavuos and one before Shoshana, as Tichle Shana Kol Seho. So I sort of Sfarim say that the point of it is that a person should start off the next year with rushes. In other words, the tochacha, when learned appropriately, when learned with the impact that it's supposed to have, substitutes for any need for going through physical rushes. In other words, the at the end of the day, the klolos and the tzaris and the tzar and the physical rushes are only there as means to get a person to a certain mindset. So it's just like if somebody takes something for granted, then by taking it away and having the person suffer the consequences, he no longer takes it for granted. So much if I have a child who I feel is just takes everything for granted, and he's lazy and not doing anything, and he just seems to take his allowance for granted, and he'll just grow on a tree and he'll live off it. So when you take it away and he feels the lack of it, he understands that it's a gift, and it's, and there's, you know, he's got to acknowledge it, and he's got to understand what it is. But if the child was wise enough, he would do it on his own, and he would say to himself, you know, I don't have to be supported at this age, and I'm doing it totally, I'm getting a gift, and I need to ask myself if I'm earning the gift, do I have the gratitude, etc. So all of that, the same way like lo aleinu, when somebody is sick, until a person doesn't have some illness, we take the day-to-day activities we do for granted. That's us, it's natural. But I once heard from somebody who was suffering lo aleinu from emphysema, and eventually I think died from it. You know, like he said that, you know, breathing is the most natural, unthought of act. You just don't think about it. He said when every breath is labored, you know, you notice every breath, and you understand, you know, I'll call neshima neshima. So it is something that is, you can have the same effect, not by, the purpose of going through the Yisurim is to reach the mind state where you take it, where you understand things the way they should be understood. So if a person's, so just like we said before, the Elamashal, about the zikuch that's needed from Yisurim for the ruchnistic gifts, so we don't have to wait, chas v'shalom. It doesn't have to be with Yisurim. It's one mahalach of avoda was where tzaddikim themselves would sort of do all sorts of sigufim. They would conduct a very ascetic way of life, with the understanding that they need to be zeichet to some ruchnis to get gifts. They need to be a lot less materialistic and a lot more open for ruchnis. That's a very, very that's one mahal of avoda. That was the type of avoda of, you know, the Chassidi Ashkenaz, where they're very into physical denial and so on. All of it being focused on putting in a certain mind in a state of mind. The Bala Musar all felt they were not into physical ascetism, but they were into a lot more thinking and learning about it. The attachment that we have to Gashmias is it's sort of a state of mind. It's a mentality, and if a person consciously disassociates himself from it and moves away from it, then a person can achieve a lot of those results. It can see those results without it. So it's not. Yisurim are a necessity for Aliyah, not because Yisurim per se are necessary. It's the Toelos that is the Zikuch HaChomer, and our understanding is Zikuch HaChomer can be by doing mitzvahs intensely, person lives and learning intensely, a person is mimayit in his indulgence, and a person thinks about Yom HaDin, Yom HaMisa, etc., a person achieves the same results. That was the thought process of those. I want to add another nekuda. So that's a general sense about Yisurim and Inyanim Tovim have to come through it, like he says, like the Maral says by, you know, the Chazal over here. Rosh Hashanah is especially that way. But Yisurim doesn't. It's not Yisurim, but it's what comes out of Yisurim that's important. I want to add another knech to what Chazal is saying about Rosh Hashanah on this point. Chazal say this specifically about Rosh Hashanah. The Kol Shana Shirosh B'Tchilosim is Hashem's B'Seifa. I think that this is a special nekuda. This type of approach is special Rosh Hashanah, because it reflects the Etzem Metzius of Rosh Hashanah. Meaning as follows. There is, under normal circumstances, there's HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem, V'Oretz Nasav Bnei Adam. We have the world that we're responsible for. We have the whole world of Bechira and personal responsibilities. And that is our job. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu we see as having brought us to a certain point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyat HaShemayim is necessary to continue. But a person functions all year round, appropriately dividing the world between Haaretz Nasa V'Adam and HaShemayim HaShemayim HaShem. And therefore, we can't be totally immersed in ourselves and in our gashmias. But it is appropriate to some degree, because that's the anhaga that's at that time. In Rosh Hashanah, we're trying to be omed on the shorish hadvarim. Let's give an example. If you have an important employee, or let's say somebody you invested money with, so-and-so has some sort of enterprise, you invested money with him, so you don't, the nature of investing money with somebody is that you don't stand over him and micromanage him. You know, that's not the way it's done. So I have this person and he's using X amount of my money to invest in different places, and his understanding is that he invests it as carefully and as prudently as he can, and to maximize profits and minimize losses. Fine. But there's a point, quarterly, yearly, or whatever, that the person is expected to give a total accounting from A to Z. And that sort of reflects the fact that it's not his money at all. So while he's investing, if I he acts as if he's the boss. When he comes to make a deal to invest the money, the person is not going to ask him, and it's none of his business, you know, where'd you get all this money from to invest? Who gave it to you? Let me see what he wants. It's mine. It's just, I have a certain madrega of rishus, and I use it. The when it comes time, but there's a moment of time that I need to acknowledge the root truth of that matziv, and that is it is not my money at all. It belongs to whoever invested it. So I have two frameworks of how I relate to the mine versus his. During the year, during the normal flow of things, it's his ownership is in the background, and my control over it, my execution, is in the foreground. And you know, and that's the active, and that's the way it's functioning. And then there's a point to reaffirm the base emes, which is none of it is yours, and it's all somebody else's. The same thing is true about the relationship of us and what we have to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So all year round, we make brachas and we daven, we do many, many actions of acknowledging our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We mispalf siyat rishmaya and so on, and we're thankful and grateful. But the normal mahalach of us in this world is that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, he gave us, and we act in the sense of making the decisions and doing the investments and etc. etc. But Rosh Hashanah, so when I'm being mevakish all year round, it is right to say, Rabbi Shalom, I'm now in the middle of doing X, Y, or Z. I know without your help it's not going to work. I need your Sach Hashmai. It's a good thing for this reason, and so on and so forth. And that's the level of tefillah that's appropriate, because that's the Metzias HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for you. Rosh Hashanah is a time where the purpose of tefillah is to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Be'etzim, you know, it's before he was and after he was, before we were and after we are, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going back to that minute of origin where we really have nothing. So the type of tefillah that's called rashus, which means empty without anything, is something that is a rush, is something which is appropriate for Rosh Hashanah specifically. So all year round, it's just the inyan of a zikuch. You know, there is room for our chaymer, and we just have a zikuch, and we acknowledge it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Hashanah has this special kenetch that's shayach uniquely to Rosh Hashanah, that in some sense, there is nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world he put in place. It's a much deeper sense of it, and that's why he says, if it's not Rosha b'tchilasa, you know, if there's no tekiyah in the beginning, if it's not Rosha b'tchilasa, then there can't be a hemshah to it, because then we're stuck. Then it's our world, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. On Rosh Hashanah, the acknowledgement is Lashem Aratzim Loya Tevel V'Yeshiva, and then we have, then it can proceed further. That's the so this inyan is unique to Rosh Hashanah, that the type of tefillah is totally with rushes. It totally comes with nothing. It's in general the way it's set up. Every yontiv, I mean, let's put it this way: the yontivim of Sukkot and Pesach, and Shavuos in terms of its miluim of being a whole week, coincide with a full month, which is a full ruchnistika ha'ara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's appreciably so, because every yontiv acknowledges HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and that's the way it should be. Rosh Hashanah, it comes when there is no Levana, because more important than acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashpah, I need to dehair the absolute darkness without his Hashpah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving and the night is lit up, so I appreciate the light and I say, you know, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you don't have that the hair of rushes. It's just like Baruch Hashem when a person's in good health. You know, he's grateful and good health. But I don't really appreciate, or rarely does a person really appreciate how much of what he takes for granted is his. So the total darkness of Rosh Hashanah night corresponds to this rushes that we're talking about here in the Kach Baruch Zahara. So a lot more important than being margish HaKadosh Baruch Hu's totality, or maybe not much more important, but maybe the only way to the hair HaKadosh Baruch Hu's totality is to the hair what it's like without it totally. The only way is, so when it's lit at night and the moon is shining, so a person has, it's a good feeling, it's lit up, it's nice, it's pleasant, he's thankful, he's grateful, but until there is no moon and he has to tap his way in darkness, he doesn't really appreciate it. So the lack of Harif HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this man of rushes, which corresponds exactly to what Rosh Hashanah should be. The herring that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing exists. And once we have that, then everything we take in is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia, because everything will be tagged that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, anything, any questions, any points, anything? Okay, so next week are we on? What's